I'm Bill Zortman, and this is It's Your Agribusiness, show 650 in our original It's Your Business series. What is up today? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the rail cars for grain and ethanol. We'll talk about the new state fair building to house 4-H that received $1 million donation last week, a million reasons we should talk about it. We're going to visit about the governor's upcoming trade mission to China and trips to troubled Russia as well. Plus, we'll check the numbers from bank loans, Main Street to Wall Street, and commodities. We were going to have Trudy with us, Deputy Secretary of Agriculture for us this morning, to try to update for us the grain that is still stacked out on the ground around South Dakota and the Midwest, ethanol as well, a big concern there. The big concern we have is that it was 10 days ago that they had the meeting in Washington. The rail people told our Secretary of Agriculture, Lucas Lynch, and others that yep, there are problems there, and we're going to get to you. We know the situation is bad, but it's one of those things that we can find a way to get some help. If we can keep asking on this radio show, we're going to do that. And, of course, there's a story in the newspaper this morning. The state of South Dakota actually owns 300 or so miles of rail, and they spent like $7.2 million in a one-time capital improvement on its tracks. Some of that runs from Canton and Beersford and Elk Point. Others run from Yankton, Huron, and Mitchell. It is a concern that we all have when we start dealing with the rail lines. It affects us, and we really don't have the best answer, and some of those people that have the grain sitting out there are really concerned. Had a chance over the weekend to actually travel through the Midwest, and we have more grain out to our back doors in the South Dakota region than we do other people around the country. The big thing that we can tell you is that there are people working on it. There is help that is on the way, and we do hope to get something resolved with that. And each Monday on this show, we're going to ask questions, and we know that the people in the show are going to ask some of the same questions, and hopefully we'll get something done. Rick Shields is our Midwest Communication Farm Director. He joins us this morning. You don't have any rail cars sitting in your backyard, do you, Rick?
Not in my backyard or front yard.
Well, if
used to have a Lionel, but that didn't count.
Oh, well, that makes sense to me. Other than some red flag conditions for areas right now that are extremely dry, the rail cars, what else should we know around the Midwest?
Well, okay, yeah. Back to the rail cars, some action on the government level reported earlier. U.S. Surface Transportation Board, they're ordering Canadian Pacific to direct the cars to make fertilizer deliveries, and everybody around the area of South Dakota and surrounding states certainly need them, just ASAP. Reports of corn piling up outside some elevators, and at least any significant rain on top of uncovered grain could cause some major problems there. And, of course, what hurts farmers and elevators eventually will hurt everybody in terms of higher prices. Red flags blowing things around this afternoon until sunset for South Dakota and neighboring states. Potential for some fast-moving grassland fires with that. Rain should return along with maybe some strong thunderstorms from southeast South Dakota onto the south. And southeast Wednesday got a warm and dry air mass colliding down that way just to the south between, Wichita and up into the Sioux City area of Iowa. But that also will include parts of eastern and southeastern South Dakota. So watch out for rain and maybe the first major storm event, spring storm event of the year come Wednesday.
Other breaking news we should know about this morning on the farm front.
Okay, well, we're watching maybe for a return of the planters this week. Some rain and some mild temperatures kind of helping things out in many places. Also watch for the release of that afternoon crop progress and conditions report this afternoon, we should say. Last week showed not much happening in terms of corn, about 3% in the ground. That's below the five-year average. It was a point ahead of last year. But when it goes in these days with technology and new seed innovations, it goes in a hurry. And Senate's reportedly moving ahead on that tax extenders bill, renewing key ag tax breaks and small business expensing and the RFS standards. So we got those things to keep an eye on, Bill.
Well, the other thing, too, that we're noticing that Secretary Vilsack put a note out about the pork viruses as well.
Yes, and the need for reporting. So, definitely, that is something that's that is now on the table, and certainly concern there with adequate supply and demand. Still, that's going to be something to keep track of, it looks like, for the foreseeable future.
Rick Shields, if you have any of those rail cars that you could send, Lionel's not important, but...
I don't think that'll work for you.
But if you got some, you know, send them our way, because we got a lot of folks that in dire straits right now.
Boy, that's for sure. That's for sure. You have it standing on the ground. You've got it, again, the promises of keeping track of where these are, but you know where they're needed, and that's what's really counting right now.
All right. Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director. You have a good week.
And you also, Bill.
Sylvia Kristen, Executive Director of South Dakota Stock Growers Association, reported last week on the start of the Farm Bill sign-up. Sylvia, like a good soldier, is back with us on the Monday after Easter. What is your report, Miss Sylvia?
Well, you know, it's been a beautiful weekend here. It's nice to see the spring finally coming. As far as the farm bill sign-ups go, we're still kind of sitting back and giving those offices a chance to maybe get started with a few applications. Our meetings last week were a really great success. We had a total of about 500 people show up at those four meetings and got to visit with a lot of producers that way and had the added privilege of having the USDA Undersecretary Michael Skuse was out here as well and got to visit with some producers and follow up with some of those ranchers that he had met when he was here in October. So all of that was a really good thing, and we're now just in the process of encouraging producers to make an appointment at their FSA office, kind of helping them walk through what type of documentation and details they're going to need when they go in for that appointment. And you know, now we need to also give our FSA offices a couple of days to get through that process with them. So I'm starting to hear some feedback from producers that have gone in for their appointments, and it sounds like the FSA offices are doing all they can to work with them and get that moving.
It's about time that we are getting to the spring side of things. What are you hearing on the herds, how they survived the rest of the winter? We're finally getting some sunshine, maybe 2 days out of three.
That's right. You know, it's still spring is here, but it's supposed to be warm this week, but some cold again towards the end of the week. So it's slow coming. But for the most part, I think the herds have survived pretty well. I know the ranchers have all been very careful, taken extra care this winter to make sure that livestock got through after the stress that they had in October. So I think for the most part, we weathered pretty well. I do know that there is some issues, you know, still discovering some issues with cattle that maybe didn't carry their pregnancies to term just because of the stress that they had and things like that. But honestly, for the most part, I'm pretty happy to hear how calving and lambing has gone for everyone out here. And I think it's gone as well as we could have hoped for and got everyone set up for pretty successful ability to get started again here. So.
It was funny, as we were setting up for the show this morning, I had a young man that's in here, Ty from Pier, who was in the show, and I said, "Do you know Sylvia?" And he says, "Everybody knows Sylvia. If you need some time filled, Sylvia could talk all day."
Well, you know, between Ty and I, I'm sure we could fill a show. So he's a fantastic young man. I'm excited that the department has him on board.
Well, Ty's over there listening. He's got a headphones on right now. I just want to listen to the two of you talk for just a second about South Dakota.
How's it going, Ty? I'm glad to have you back in the state.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't even know you were going to be on here today. So it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Sylvia, and see what you got going out there in the western part of the state.
Yeah, for sure. So, it's, you know, I've been on this show with Bill now for quite a while now. He has me on Monday mornings to talk, and it's nice to visit about what's going on West River. So, but it sounds like East River ground's getting worked up too over there. So,
yeah, absolutely. We are enjoying the spring, just like you guys are out there.
The other thing that was kind of fun with this is that, Ty's getting ready to make a trip to China with the governor with his mission that's going on there. You said come back into the state. Has he been missing for a while? What was that about?
Well, I had the wrong Ty. You know, the Department of Ag has hired a new guy too that was Ty, and I thought you were talking about Ty Littow, and here we are with Ty Eschenbaum. So,
well, I didn't have to introduce the last name. You knew right off, didn't you? Well, I would tell you this. I appreciate both of you. What we are trying to do with this show, Ty and Sylvia, as you both know, is to kind of spread the word on agriculture. It is the number one industry in the state, and it's important that we take the time to share and to try to help people with their questions, with the needs that they have, and do some education as well. You agree, Sylvia?
I absolutely agree, and I really appreciate you having me on so regularly on this show, just for that purpose. It's been great to get some feedback from people and help us get the message out about what our ranchers are doing out here in the western part of the state.
Sylvia Christian, Executive Director, South Dakota Stock Growers Association. Appreciate you taking time to be with us the Monday after Easter.
Thanks for everything, Bill.
You bet. Roger and Travis Starks are on the road today. We got a little spoiled the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we actually had some bagels. I'm used to donuts. I'm not used to bagels. But the Starks introduced me to it. We were over at Holt McDowell, and we did have a chance to talk a little bit eyeball to eyeball with some guests that day. Where are you guys traveling today for Holt McDowell?
We're on 94 in central North Dakota. We are on our way to Streeter, North Dakota, and Galesburg, North Dakota.
All right, so what in the world are you doing up there?
Business, kind of like what you're doing there with Sylvia.
Well, see, and I should have had her talk with you. That would have straightened you out this morning. But,
I'm telling you, it's cold as a dickens there.
I know. One of the things that we always do talk with you about is, you know, having it just right, having the porridge just right with what you have as far as coverage and protection, but not too much, but just right.
That's us. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, and our travels and heading up here to North Dakota today, going to sit down with some of our clients, go over, you know, we're looking 90 to 120 days out to their renewal. We want to sit down and talk to them a little bit about what they have, what their future looks like. We've got builder's risk projects that we need to start looking at and covering. You know, an idea, some of these guys look at maybe buying up other cooperatives or other operations, or maybe being, made part of another operation. So those are the things that we try and get out, meet eyeball to eyeball, maybe bring them some bagels or maybe some beef jerky from around here and sit down and have a good conversation.
You know, rail card's still an issue. This past weekend, I was kind of sharing earlier with the audience that had a chance to drive through Nebraska and Iowa, Minnesota, down into Missouri. We've got a lot of corn on the ground compared with our neighboring states.
It's incredible, and there was a good article in today's paper about some of the state-owned spurs that are out there, how undeveloped it is, and you know, it kind of sticks in my craw a little bit that we work on things, the government spends all this money on some pretty crazy stuff when an investment in some of those short lines would actually be a pretty darn good return, and it looks to me like we haven't spent enough money there to matter. And if you'll read the Argus Leader, it's a great article, and we have a bunch of clients on the end of those spurs, and the article kind of minimized, you know, these things, but it's a huge issue just in those little spurs. So you're right. I mean, we've got issues coming out of issues over this, and we have a client that's going to be out of fertilizer by Wednesday simply because they couldn't get enough fertilizer in here because of the lack of rail.
You and I were talking last week about our trade with Russia and the Ukraine. We've actually got a guest that's going to address that this morning. You ask, and we go to no expense to getting them in here. We didn't go to the corners of North Dakota, but we went to East Brookings, and we're taking care of that this morning.
Well, we're proud of anybody that comes from Brookings. You know, the jackrabbits are jackrabbits, and there's a great deal of knowledge in that city of Brookings condensed into that campus. It's good that it drifted down to Sioux Falls, and it's good that education comes from all this, Bill. But, yeah, I think the Ukrainian deal is going to have a real bearing in it. Just from a pedestrian thing, it appears to me like the corn keeps inching up, I'm always amazed about that, you know, we were worried it was going to inch down or fall down, and it seems to be inching up all the time, and maybe you're, and again, Ty, is that the guy you're talking about?
We are, yes. And we understand maybe there's more than one Ty, so don't get confused.
I'm confused every day, and the only Ty I know is my shoes, and that's what I do, but anyway, it'll be good to get an expert on that.
As if we're not. So what are you saying there, Mr. Starks?
You can assume anything you want.
That's what I was afraid of. Well, you know, we get somebody from South Dakota State that's in, you know, we compare that to Holt University. It's right up there in the higher echelons.
Absolutely. And South Dakota State, they have a little better football team than we do, but we're working on our recruiting class.
There you go.
Also, I think Saturday night is the scholarship dinner.
Absolutely.
And it's worth in Brookings, and it is a great social event. And if ever anybody needs a chair, we have one available.
Doors open at 4 o'clock.
All right. If people have questions or want to be a part of a Holt University training that's upcoming, how do they reach you?
Give us a call, 605-339-3874. Or you can reach us on our website at HoltMcDowell.com.
All right.
Rev, you know what else we can do, right?
Mm-hmm. He hasn't got a microphone. We stole all his mics. Got the Batmobile running.
The old bat sign. So.
All right. It's probably against the law to drive the Batmobile in North Dakota, but we won't tell him you're there.
I'll tell you what, as windy as it is today, we're doing more flying than we are driving.
There you go. The Starks. They're off and running. We'll talk to you next week. You bet.
Yeah.
Over the last few months, we've been talking with SDSU and Peter Nielsen about the plans to update the state fair building and 4-H exhibits in Huron. Campaign was announced. And Peter Nielsen, our 4-H youth program director in South Dakota, has been explaining the difference it'll make for those in 4-H in years to come. Peter, good morning to you.
Well, good morning. I hope you had a great Easter, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
I know. You're a good guy, too, and I wish the same for you. I know your job is not the fundraising arm of this project, but there are a million reasons. We can talk about the announcement last week that makes this project right in the middle of our vision.
Well, it's great to talk about that. We did. We had the announcement of our million-dollar donor last week. Actually, Earl Nordby, who is very synonymous with the success of Huron and a lot of projects, and also Mitchell and some of the surrounding area as well, wouldn't want to take anything away from what he's done there. But one of the projects he chose to, I had a personal conversation with him after the ceremony, as we had plenty of dignitaries across the state there. And Earl was just really excited to be able to use $1 million as a donor to put us over the halfway mark. We're at 2.2 million, and I might be off a few thousand there, but 2.2 million of a $4 million project to build a new exhibit hall on the state fairgrounds in the state fair campus at Huron, South Dakota. Just a great, great way to get us over the hump, so to speak. And now it's time for the rest of the state, 4-H included, though I may not be directly fundraising, I'm sure pushing from behind as much as we can, trying to find more ways as we go into the summer to build this great building that's going to benefit all of South Dakota.
And for those in 4-H, what difference will it make in showing their projects and actually now getting more people willing to attend the state fair and being a part of 4-H, whether they're on the farm or in the town?
You know, I've had the privilege in 5 years working for 4-H, and obviously being before that working alongside 4-H and sponsoring things and stuff like that. But I'll never forget Bill Even, our former Secretary of Ag, really challenged Jerome Hertel and myself, Jerome being the state fair manager along with the commission. But he challenged us to really change the flow of traffic at the state fair. And I got to tell you, Bill, that's never gone away from me. And this would change the flow of traffic. We get a great attendance. Jerome and his staff have done a great job with that state fair in Huron. I mean, it's not along the interstate necessarily. It's a little more centrally located, but maybe off the beaten path a little bit. But that tradition that Jerome and his staff have continued to put up and make a solid success in South Dakota, well, that carries into 4-H. You know, the State Fair Commission, the State Fair staff, they know that 4-H and the State Fair go together. It's a great tradition of South Dakota agriculture and growing up in South Dakota and things of that nature. But what has been lacking has been that Clover Hall. It got condemned. There was pieces that weren't able to be used. And it's basically, you could say, the southwest corner of the fairgrounds where a lot of our folks that come to the state fair as an experience might hit the midway, might hit some of the things in the north end, but they never necessarily come south unless they have a 4-H or youth reason to come that way. This new exhibit hall put and more towards the southwest corner of the fairgrounds really going to open up those flows of traffic, get people to be drawn in there, have more programming type things, not to mention the exhibits that we're so used to in 4-H. And really, we hope to change the flow of traffic at the state fair for a more successful all-around experience as far as education, agriculture, and South Dakota are concerned.
Peter Nielsen, the 4-H Youth Program Director in South Dakota. Easiest way for people to become involved in 4-H.
Easiest way for people to come involved in 4-H is igrow.org. If you want to contribute to the state fair campaign on Clover Hall, we'll have something up on iGrow soon enough, but you can go directly to fdstatefairfoundation.com.
Peter Nielsen, we appreciate you joining us this morning, and we'll talk again soon. We can always talk about 4-H.
Sounds great to me, Bill. Thank you.
Roger DeRoshi and Luke Rendell are part of the Plains Commerce Bank team. They're over in Mitchell. Roger, how you doing this morning?
Just fine, Bill. Good morning.
We want to talk about risk protection for livestock feeders. Can you share with us?
You betcha. Well, we're going to have to take a couple different radio shows to work with this because it's pretty detailed, Bill. But this morning, we'd just like to visit with you and put things in perspective. You know, we got fat cattle that are grossing about $2,100 per animal. And it wasn't too many years ago that the farmer feeder, if they got $1,000 per fat animal, that was a pretty profitable enterprise.
Well, and it's certainly something that we're in a state that we have a lot of risk that we take with our livestock. When we talk with Sylvia Christian, with the stock growers, and the fact that they raised almost $5 million to help, it means you got to have your basics together as well, and that starts with Plain Commerce.
That's exactly right. You know, we're thinking this fall that we're going to have maybe $1,000 beef calf that we're going to wean off these cattle, so there's a lot of risk involved with that. And Luke and I have been working with some livestock producers over here, and we're thinking that some of the fellas, if they got some risk out there, that they need to be looking at type of risk management. And there's the livestock risk protection program. We also have some option marketing available, some futures that are available. And we're going to have Lance Spielhauer from up in Aberdeen, kind of our bank expert in the risk management of livestock, visit with you next Monday.
Well, we look forward to doing that. The kind of questions you're getting over at Plains Commerce in the Mitchell area?
Well, when's it going to rain is a good question. Are we going to get more moisture? We're pretty dry over here, and we could really use a good shot of rain. You know, there's been some concern about delivery of commodities still to elevators with the rails being tied up. So it's been kind of a guessing game as far as, you know, if we're going to get all of our crop inputs that producers have prepaid for. That's been a concern too. So there's some concern out there, but more than anything, I think, you know, people are pretty optimistic about the good spring that we have been having, minus the drought a little bit. You know, guys are getting ready to get out in the field, and they're excited to go planting again, and we're excited to be part of their operation.
Country and Town Operation, Plains Commerce Bank. If you need help in the Mitchell area, you call Roger, you call Luke, and what do they call?
Call us here at 996-1102, and we can help you out with anything from, you know, ag real estate, commercial real estate, all the way to consumer loans, operating loans for producers. We've got Doug Krantz here in our Mitchell office, who's our mortgage specialist, too. So for any need out there, I mean, we can handle it for you.
Plains Commerce Bank, Luke Roger, we appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we're going to talk commodities, some of the early trends for the week. We're going to visit with Craig Marquardt of Advanta Mortgage. Then we're going to bring in these two guys that are going to talk about trade. What we grow and what we have in South Dakota winds up all over the world. We'll talk about how big that is. Welcome back to It's Your Agribusiness. Let's see, this morning we've talked in Pierre, we've talked in North Dakota, we've talked in Mitchell. Time to go east now and talk with Coima K-Mig Commodities, serving all of South Dakota, the Midwest. Scott Verilek joins us this morning. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing pretty well, Bill. Nice Easter weekend. Ready to get back at it.
All right. You got some bullet points we're going to talk about this morning. Planting progress is coming along fast.
Yes. The market's really looking at that. Last year, we had such delayed plantings. Everything got planted at the end of May, and we had, you know, the second largest crop, you know, that we reported as far as yields go. Now we're looking at already being, you know, quite a ways ahead of last year. We're looking at maybe 12% planted corn to come out today. You know, that's looking at last week, and we know that we're in the field today and in a pretty big area across the Corn Belt and the Midwest. So the market's viewing the dry weather as bearish as of now. We'll get everything planted. It'll be bearish if we get it planted on time. And maybe if it stays dry, that's when you start to get a rally back. So we're getting hit pretty hard on the grains today.
Cattle bids were a little softer on Friday.
Yeah, we had about a $3 to $4 break in the cash last week. So that's a pretty significant move after hanging around 150 for quite some time on tight supply. Seasonally, this is a time for that market to start to break, but I just think the market wasn't quite ready for it. They didn't think it was going to happen quite that fast because it's there's some cattle starting to come down the pipeline, but not in overabundance, and we've got demand starting to pick up a little bit here. It's grilling season, time for everybody to step outdoors. There's a little bit of a shock factor there at the meat case. It is going to be higher than it has been, so a little bit of an adjustment there. So it's spiking due to the seasonal, but we kind of expect that there's potential for that to drop off a little bit just with the high prices. So the market's kind of rolling over a little bit there. We've had a pretty big break in April cattle here in the last 2 weeks.
And when you say rebound on hog prices, there may be some consumers that don't want rebounds.
You're correct there. We've talked about PED for a significant amount of time, and it's been a pretty big issue, and it's still in question how big that hole is and how tight we're going to be this summer. This summer, hogs had drifted down to, you know, 116 in the mid-1-teens, and now they're kind of bouncing back up and got up to almost to the mid-120s again. And it looks like they kind of want to go up and retest some of those old highs. Are we going to break through them and make new highs? Maybe not necessarily. I think we've rallied quite a ways, and we're at some pretty high prices. But ultimately, they have come $7 off the low already and are trading strong again.
Scott Verilek, Coima K-Mig Commodities. We'll check your commodity reports an hour from now at 11:30. Keller News Talk 1320 1079 or on our World Wide Web. Scott, appreciate your work.
Thanks, Bill.
Craig Marquardt, Senior Loan Officer, joins us from Advanta Mortgage. Craig, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill.
You survived the weekend?
It was a phenomenal weekend for not only weather, but hanging out with family. So how about you, Bill?
I did. I got a little trip to see grandkids in St. Louis and got back safely yesterday. Lots of people traveling and maybe too many on the road at times. But you guys are always busy. Did you get any calls over the weekend on the 18-7?
You know, it was a very busy weekend for not only open houses, from what I found out, as well as people looking at houses and wanting to make offers. And so there were several people that have already been pre-qualified at Advanta that were making offers over the weekend. So we're already starting to see purchase agreements shuffle in the door this morning.
Loan snapshot of the day?
Well, the market is opened up this morning fairly flat from where it ended on Thursday. And so the conventional Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate is still holding steady where it was on Thursday at 4.50%. That has an APR of 4.648%.
And again, one size doesn't fit all?
Yeah, rates are always subject to change based on the current market conditions. And I believe this week is going to be a pretty light week when it comes to economic data. So I think that rates are going to be pretty flat across the board. As well as the specific loan program that folks are looking at, that changes interest rates as well as the individual borrower's details as well.
And how do they find you at Advanta Mortgage?
They can give us a call anytime at 275-2777. And this week, Jordan Olson is the on-call mortgage banker. So if they call us after 5 o'clock, they'll get a prompt to dial 1, and then Jordan will answer, and he'll be able to take care of any potential clients that want to take and look at applying or even just getting a quick quote on a house that they're looking at.
Craig Marquardt, Advanta Mortgage. Advanta Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Thanks, Bill.
2 weeks ago, we introduced you to Rock Nelson, International Marketing Director of the Sioux Falls Development Foundation and Chamber, Director of the Small Business Development Center's International Trade Center. Rock, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
We know that agriculture's a $21 billion industry in our state, but a lot of what we do in agriculture is also being played out on the world stage.
It's interesting to know that 95% of the world's consumers live outside of the U.S., and they have more than 70% of the purchasing power. They love our, you know, great, high-quality American-made products, as well as our grains and ag. And they just want to get more of it, and as they increase their growth into entering the middle class, that's their goal, is to become more with it and eating better and feeling better and purchasing better products.
Now, you brought with you today a young man that already had a chance to visit with Sylvia earlier in the show. We got a few too many ties in South Dakota, but they all seem to be doing good work. And he's going to talk a little bit about the international side and the governor's upcoming trade mission to China.
That's right. I brought along Ty Eschenbaum out of Brookings. He is an ag development specialist with South Dakota Department of Ag out of Pierre.
You guys understand the importance of not only in South Dakota, but as you mentioned, on the world stage. And one of the things the Starks asked us last week, Ty, was the fact that we're threatening Russia with Ukraine, with the trade, with whatever. You have an understanding of how this could affect on the world stage. What difference would it make if we said we're going to put sanctions out?
Well, I guess, first of all, thanks for having me on here. I am, in my department, they call me the original Ty because we just hired Ty Litta out of Winter, South Dakota, is a new hire with us. He's been doing a great job, but now we have two Ties. Ty's Litta is going to be in Rapid City, and I office out of Brookings. So, yeah, with Russia, I guess I'm not an expert in this market by any means, but we have done a couple trade missions there that I've partaken in, and ours were specifically for live cattle. They're trying to build up their ag industry there. They're importing a lot of live cattle and genetics so that they can grow their own beef. So I'm not an expert in the grain side, and obviously there's a lot of things going on there, and our relations are seeming to be turning colder all the time. I don't know if we'll be going back there, but I tell you what, we've sent a lot of live cattle over there out of South Dakota. They love those Northern Plains genetics out of the U.S., and they fly them over on 747s out of Fargo and Chicago, and it's been a real good deal for South Dakota.
So it was kind of cold calling when you were there, even colder right now, but obviously, from what you're telling us, they like the product of the Northern Plains.
Yeah, they sure do. When they're looking for genetics and they want cattle, U.S. genetics are number one. And more importantly, they want Northern Plains. They want North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana. Our climate just matches up so well with what they've got over there. So we've sent a lot of live cattle over there from South Dakota. And when they come and buy them up, they're paying more than ranchers in South Dakota can get for them for other markets. And they're paying the feed bill when they're quarantined. They're paying the trucking. They're paying the veterinary. They're dropping a lot of foreign dollars in the state, which is good for everyone.
The trip to China with Governor Dugard involves many on the ag sector. And I remember last year in talking to some of those going, they hadn't met the governor till they got to China.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just kind of the way it is. Everyone's busy doing their own business, but that's definitely a small part of the benefit of doing these trade missions is just getting the governor and the secretary of ag and our commissioner of economic development all in one place. And they get to meet these companies that are doing international trade. So this will be the governor's third mission to China. And obviously the China market is growing every day with their middle class growing and their population growing. They're actually our third largest trading partner. And just from 2001 to 2011, excuse me, in 10 years, our trade with them has tripled on the ag side.
Gentlemen, Rock Nelson with us this morning and Ty as well. We start the show talking about the rail car shortage. There's a story in the Argus this morning that talks a little bit about the fact that we do have some railroad here in South Dakota that we own, and we spent $7.2 million, I think, was the most recent number. But the importance of this, obviously, if we've got grain that's being hauled, ethanol being hauled, and fertilizer, as the Stark boys were telling us this morning, they've got some people that are going to be without fertilizer by Wednesday of this week. It's pretty critical.
It's very critical. We have to get our grains that were harvested this last fall to the markets. If we can't get the grain cars, the hopper cars in here, it's going to be very bad, not good for the economy around this region. And consequently, it's a challenge when, due to the Bakken oil fields, the rail is concentrating, I suppose, on the high hauler dollar items like oil, coal, things like that. But we have to keep our grains on the move. And I know Senator Thune is really pushed and met with some people up on the hill in Washington, D.C. to try and get some of those cars shaken loose for us.
Ty, what's your take?
Yeah, I guess I would add to that that's one of our competitive advantages that we have with other countries around the world is our infrastructure in general, being able to produce not only a lot of product, but get it to our markets very quickly. Just for an example, we export 60% of the soybeans grown here in South Dakota. And almost half of those are going out through the Pacific Northwest to countries like China. So being able to move that very quickly is a competitive advantage for us, and we definitely need to get that taken care of. I know Secretary Lynch has made at least one trip to D.C. He's talked to his counterparts, the other secretaries of agriculture in states around the upper Midwest here, and is continuing to push that ball forward to make sure that our legislators and administration is aware of what's going on there.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about why we have an international marketing plan for Sioux Falls development. We'll talk as well about just why it's important that we are involved on the worldwide market, and does it make Sioux Falls even better? All a part of our ag business here. Is the International Marketing Director of the Sioux Falls Development Foundation and Chamber. Why do we need that in South Dakota?
Well, because I am partially funded through the Sioux Falls Development Foundation and the Chamber, and they realize that agricultural as well as manufacturing are crucial to the economy of the state. And what you pay forward will come back to assist you in the end. I know the Chamber and the Development Foundation totally support the Ag Appreciation Day out at the Sioux Falls, at the Sioux Empire Fairgrounds. And ag is our number one economy. And they appreciate that and they realize that because without the farmers, our city economy and our state's economy would not be vibrant. One other thing I wanted to add before we get off on another subject in regards to the governor's trade mission coming up to China, some of the food businesses from South Dakota that are attending it are Davisco out of Lake Norton, South Dakota. That is a cheese and whey manufacturing company. Hesco out of Watertown, a sunflower seed company out of Huron, Valley Queen Cheese Factory out of Milbank, and Vern Idy International out of Sioux Falls.
So it's taking what we do in South Dakota, sharing it on a world stage.
You got it, and it will come back tenfold. Because the people in China or other countries where the governor will be visiting in the future love that American quality, whether it's manufactured products or ag products.
We're happy to have Ty with us today. And as we were talking here this morning, we find out a little bit about his foundation. We got maybe 90 seconds or so. Can you share the importance of the foundation, Ty?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we got off the beaten path a little bit here, but I am a leukemia survivor, and that's what we were talking about a little bit, and I started a foundation. It's the Ty Eschenbaum Foundation, and we raise money for youth cancer survivors here in South Dakota, and we give that to those survivors in the form of cancer or a youth survivor scholarships so those students can go to college, and we're getting that rolling. It's a two-year-old foundation, and having a lot of fun with it for sure.
Well, we're very happy you're with us. We're happy that you're doing what you're doing, and we talked about why would you talk about that. It's what we do in South Dakota.
Yeah,
we give back in so many ways, and we appreciate that. For those people that want more information about the international trade that we do, Rock, how do they find out?
My cell phone number is 605-941-6696. My email address is rock, R-O-C-K, at Sioux Falls, one word all spelled out, .com, rock at siouxfalls.com.
Now, you gave a percentage earlier, and I don't want people to miss this, and sometimes people join us to get to Rush Limbaugh at 11 o'clock. You were giving a percentage of the products or the dollars that go overseas out of South Dakota, and that was a pretty phenomenal number that you were talking about.
South Dakota's manufactured export product, whether it's cattle gates, automobile, ag parts, whatever, is $1.7 billion of manufactured product that is exported out of the state. Ty, do you happen to have any figures available on, and that does not include grains or livestock. What have you got for grains and livestock that get exported out?
Yeah, grains and livestock, according to USDA in 2011, it was about $3.6 billion worth. And I haven't seen numbers from 2012 or 2013, but I'm going to guess that it's probably got to be up around that 4 or 5 billion number.
Amazing numbers, but I think you can see the importance of talking international side, following the governor when he does the China trip, checking on the Russia side, checking with you guys. You guys have the understanding. We appreciate you taking time to be with us on It's Your Agribusiness.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones joins us with the Main Street to Wall Street report. Todd, it's been a busy show. Good morning to you.
Morning, Bill. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones bringing you the daily financial market report. Stocks are higher on corporate earnings season that continues to roll along. Halliburton shares are advancing after the company beat first quarter expectations on solid international growth, while a notable earnings announcement from Netflix is due out after the market closes today. Also in the news this morning from an economic report showing index of leading indicators rose more than expected in the month of March. So far this morning in the S&P 500, the best performing sector is utilities. The worst performing sector is consumer staples. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 30 points at 16,438. The S&P 500 index is up less than 1 point, and the NASDAQ is up 9 points at 4,104. Volume on the New York Exchange has traded about 158 million shares. Advancers are, and decliners are pretty much evenly matched on the day. In commodity markets, gold is off $7 at $1,286. Silver down 21 cents at 1940, and crude oil prices are trading at 104.54. In some stocks of local interest, Daktronix is trading at 13.59. Citigroup is down 28 cents at 47.94. Raven up 13 cents at 33.27. Summit Hotel Properties is trading at 9.21. And Meta Financial Bank is at $40.39. This is Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones, a member of the SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention, long-term financial advice, in Sioux Falls, bringing you this Wall Street to Main Street report. Bill?
Hey, Todd, we finished the tax season. Did you get requests to helping people get some planning going?
You know, it's a very busy season when everybody is, trying to get those returns done by the end of April or by the deadline on, what was it, the 15th. And there's a lot of people that put them off, you know, that last week to 10 days. And those sometimes are some of the more difficult returns to get done. So,
well, you can handle them. And if they need help from you, how do they reach you?
Locally, 371-0375 or at todd.neuberger@edwardjones.com.
Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones, thanks for being a part of our It's Agribusiness.
You're welcome, Bill. Have a great week, everyone. Bye
you
now.
Bet. One last stop, Valentino's. John, good morning. Are you back inside safe?
I sure am.
Boy, I was getting worried about you. Rev was, too.
Well, see, I'm so heavy, that ladder doesn't blow too much.
All right, it's senior day. We're down to our last minute. Fill the time.
Well, of course, today is Seniors Day. Everybody, young people 55 and older, get a 10% off their buffet today. And, of course, we got one of the freshest salad bar our patrons tell us in town. Soups, we still got the Mexican Corner tomato bisque. Of course, we got fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy. A lot of raves about our lasagna, our fettuccine Alfredo. And, of course, the Eight Brides pizzas with the spinach artichoke flatbread is excellent. And you got to try the desserts with a little real ice cream. We got cherry cobbler. We make ourselves the chocolate mocha pudding cake, as well as the peanut butter chip temptation and the cinnamon bread twist.
I always get so hungry when he's on. I don't know.
And, I'm happy Lent's behind us, but I'm still going to give up salads year-round.
Okay.
Bill.
Mighty big of you.
Yeah. Way to go, Bill. Yeah, nice.
Remember, it's Senior Monday, 41st and Willow at Valentino's. John, thanks. Rev says,
don't break your mother's heart.
There you go. Our time's up. Thank you for yours.
Okay.